How many of y'all been able to make it every night? Some I know this is your first night. We appreciate you being here, but there's quite a few made it every night, and every service has been a tremendous blessing. I thought about giving you a challenge, like, what did Brother Joey preach on Sunday morning? It's not fair. I recall things like that a little bit better than most people do, but I appreciate every message, and I'm looking forward to the sermon tonight. Brother Joey, come preach the word.
Thank you, brother. All right, good evening. You will, if you don't mind, take your word, the Bible, and go with me to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1 tonight for our time together here in the Word of God. And I want to thank you so much for being here tonight, and thank you for coming. And thank you all for inviting me to be here as well. And it's been a blessing. My family told me to say hello to y'all, those of you remember them from 3 or 4 years ago. And they asking a lot of questions, and the boys asking if I went fishing. Nope, didn't get to do that this time, all right? And but man, it's been a blessing to be here, and I appreciate your church, and I appreciate Brother Tommy and his family so much, and they're such a blessing to me, and a joy to be around. And thank you too for being here, and I mean that. And I'm telling y'all, I know tonight, Wednesday night, boy, I'm telling you, does time change just mess up anybody else's life? And no kidding, look, and you know, it's getting dark, and it's time to eat, but you ain't hungry yet, but you eat, because it's getting dark. And then you go to bed hungry, and you eat before you. Anybody else put on weight one of the days? Hey, them short days. I don't know why they're doing that. Amen. Hey, it is what it is. But it is definitely a blessing to be here, and I've eaten so good. And I will tell you that. Can I be not okay? I'll say this. Now, this has nothing to do with Jesus. And if you get this or not, you're not going to heaven or hell for it. Okay, so get this. But there is a place here that I found while I was here. I call it the Muslim Mall. Now, I don't know what it is, but everybody in there is Muslims. They got restaurant, barbershop, gold places, bread shop. They got 3 different restaurants in there. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you have not been there, you need to go. You need to go. And they have bread. They have bread this big. And I promise you that. It's this big. It's absolutely amazing. Amen. You've been. I don't know where it is, but Beach Boys, there you go. Just look for all the people coming out smiling and doing this, and that's where it is. And I promise you, I have enjoyed so much the last couple of days, and been there twice actually. And it's crazy, the people that worked there yesterday didn't work there today, so you get to talk to a whole new crop of people today. And it was amazing to be able to go there. A joke, I realized I hadn't told a joke all week long, and my wife gets on to me. She's like, "Joey, don't tell your jokes. They're not always funny." I'm like, "Shoot, baby, if you don't there, it don't matter." Amen. But there was this guy, him and his wife and his mother-in-law. His mother-in-law was really, really old, and anytime she may, you know, leave the earth, and she knew the Lord. She was going to go to heaven, and that was her testimony. She wanted to go to Israel. She wanted to go over to the other side of the world. She wanted to see Jerusalem, the place of the Bible days. So he planned this trip. He paid for it, him, his wife, and his mother-in-law. And they get over there, and man, they're touring Israel. They go to Jerusalem. They get to go out on trips to Bethlehem, all these places, and they're doing all these things. Well, one night while they're there in the hotel, his mother-in-law just passes on to be with the Lord in the middle of the night. So they wake up in the morning, and like, you're talking about, man, we went on vacation. My mother-in-law passed away. What do we do? So they go to the funeral home, and they're talking to the funeral home director, and the funeral home director says, "Sir, I got 2 options." He said, "We can bury her here, have a funeral for her here, and it'll be a lot cheaper." He said, "Or I can organize a flight to take her body back to America." And he said, "But it's going to be expensive." And he said, "How much?" He said, "We can bury her here in Israel for $1,000. And he said, $1,000. The whole funeral, every $1,000. He said, "But I can get her body shipped back to the United States, and you can bury her there for $50,000. And the man said, $50,000. And he said, yeah, I know it's a big difference. It's the best I can do. And he said, I understand. He said, well, listen, let's ship her to the United States. And the funeral director looked at him and said, really? He said, yeah, let's ship him. So he got out his card and man, he paid for it and went back. And the next day they come to get their body. And when they're sitting there, he walks in the funeral. He's talking to the funeral director and the funeral director pulls him aside and says, hey, man, I got a note. You could have buried your mother-in-law here for $1,000. But you're paying $50,000 to ship her back to the United States. And he said, I got to know why. And he said, well, sir, I heard a couple thousand years ago a man died over here and he came back from the dead 3 days. I can't risk that. Amen. And so the moral of that, all right, if you didn't get that, ask somebody after service, all right? And since I'm leaving tonight, I can tell a mother-in-law joke. Amen? Amen? And that was for you right there. Okay? He paid me to do that. All right? And so listen, I want to do this tonight. I want to try to go at a different angle here. And one of the things in my life, I didn't grow up as a Christian. And Tommy and I was talking about that a little bit today. And I got into a lot of trouble in my life before I came to Christ. And as a teenager, I thought, man, if I get to become a Christian, my life's going to be miserable. You know, I'm going to walk around like a monk and eat grass all the days of my life. That was my understanding of the Christian life. And the Lord got me into a place and put me in a dark pit, you know. And I tell you this, when you go to jail, there's not too many places you can go after that, you know.
Amen.
And there is when I begin to look at my own life and ask myself, is this what I want to be? And right after that, there was God sent people in my life to tell me about Christ. And long story short, I ended up giving my life to Christ. And it was a change. It was a major change.
Amen.
It was a drastic change.
Amen.
Listen, when you go from being in the club on Friday night to being a youth group on Friday night, that's a big change.
Yes, sir.
And it was a big change for me in my life when God began to work in me. But one of the things that I learned early on is this, is that the Christian life is miserable if it's not real.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, if it's not real, y'all, it's hard to live it.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
It's hard to keep it up.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know, you know, some of you sitting here looking up here at me and like, Brother Joey, you was talking about dieting. You've been talking about eating all week, and I can tell, I know. But I'm going to tell you, could you imagine carrying me out on your back tonight?
Mm.
Hey, and here's the truth. There's many people, that's the burden they live the Christian life with. They just hanging on.
Yeah.
And y'all, I'm going to tell you this. I want you to look at me very carefully. I want to get to the message. But if you think that Jesus Christ came to this earth and gave up his life and died for sins that he did not do.
Right.
If you think he went through all of that, so you would have to have a miserable existence as a Christian, I promise you, you misunderstand.
Amen.
You hear some people talk about the Christian life. It's like, yeah, I know I need to do better. What?
Mm.
Bro, we ain't trying to do better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to be anything. I have become a part of something.
Amen.
That has made me a different person.
Yes.
And I got to walk in that. Don't miss. I got to walk in that.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be anything. How are you going to be something you can never be?
Amen.
You say, well, I'm saved. You still rotten?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh. Let's ask your wife.
Yeah. Come on.
Listen, you're still a sinful on the inside.
Mm.
You cannot be better. You cannot perform better. It's not us. It's Christ.
Amen.
In us. The hope of glory. So let's get into it. Ephesians chapter 1. You glad you came tonight? We say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Respect for God's word tonight. Ephesians chapter number 1. And I want to go into this. Ephesians chapter 1 verse number 15. The word of God says this. You there? Say go ahead.
Go ahead.
Look at verse 15. He says this. Wherefore also. Now watch this. The apostle Paul here. This is so interesting. He's writing to people. I should have said this before. And if your feet hurt, just sit down, okay? I'm not going to be long, but watch this. He's writing to people that he spent more time ministering to than any other church. Here in Ephesus, he spent over 3 years ministering to these people. He spent more time at the church at Ephesus than any other church he was at. And now, don't miss this, he's now in prison in Rome.
And he's hearing, 3 years after he left Ephesus, he's hearing about what God is doing in that church. And he didn't know these people now. The new people, he didn't know. And so he wrote a book to those people to help them understand the Christian life. And now let's look at it. After those he left, and he said in verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard," now watch this, "of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." Now this is incredible. You have to pick up on what he's saying here. He's not necessarily applying, though it applies to the people that he ministered to for 3 years. These are new people. Because the people that he that knew Christ, he probably led them to Christ when he was there. These are new people. He said, "After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love on all the saints," look what he says, "cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you." Now watch this. "Mention of you in my," what? Say it.
Prayers.
Prayers. And tonight, I want to talk about this simple subject. How to make sure that you are growing as a Christian. Will you pray with me? Now, Father, thank you for loving us tonight. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for how simple it is. And God, tonight, I know you love these people here at Faith Chapel. And God, I know you care about them. You care about this church. You paid for the people that are here. You paid for their lives, their sins, Lord. You bought them with your precious Lord. Blood. And God, you love these families here. You love these men. You love these women. You love these young people. And Lord, I pray tonight that while I'm talking on the outside, that you'll talk on the inside.
God, grant that, please.
So God, have your way in us tonight. Open our eyes to our need for you, Lord.
Yes.
I pray in your name, Jesus, and all God's people say it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I want you tonight in your mind, don't scream it out loud, but I want you to answer yourself this question. If you were here this coming Sunday and a person came into the church and they were here in the service and God had been dealing with them by their need for Christ and they made a decision to turn from their sin and self and to give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God came into their life and forgave their sins and gave them the Holy Spirit and they became a child of God and they were saved by the grace of God. Here's the question tonight. What would you say are the most important things for them to do in their life that they would grow as a Christian? Now answer for yourself, not me. Don't come ask Brother Tommy. Don't ask Miss Brit. Answer yourself. What would you say is the most important thing for that man that gave his life to Christ for him to do that he could grow as a Christian?
Yeah.
You could get many answers. Some people may say, hey, they should go to church faithfully. Some people may say another one that, hey, they ought to make Christian friends. Christian friends who help you grow spiritually. Some may say they ought to listen to music that puts their mind up on Christ. Some even may say, hey, they need to stop sinning. They need to stop doing all the bad things. But here's the question I want to answer tonight. When the Bible says what a Christian should do to grow, do you know what that is? Not what do you think tonight, but what does the Bible say a Christian should do if they want to grow? What does the Bible say that if a person comes to Christ, are the most important thing in their life to make sure they are growing in their faith? And you say, Brother Joey, why is this important? This is why. Because you know, just like I know there's a lot of people who've come to church, they've been saved, they love God, they want to live for God, but they are burdened with living for God because they're not growing like they should. You want to know why we don't grow like we should? Because we're focused on growing in the wrong way.
Amen.
We're focused on what God ain't focused on.
Amen.
We worried about what God ain't worried about. We caring about what God ain't caring about.
Amen.
And my friend, I'm telling you, in the midst of Brother Joey's ideas, in the midst of my opinions tonight, you got to understand that don't matter in God's eyes. I want to know what the Bible says.
Amen.
When a man comes to Christ, what does the Bible say he must do to grow? When a woman comes to Christ, what does the Bible say they must do to grow? And I'm telling you tonight, you may be sitting in this building and you've grown bored with the Christian life. You've grown weary with the Christian life. It has become a burden to you to follow Christ tonight. Listen, my friend, you can grow beyond that. You can enjoy the Christian life tonight. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And in our text tonight, the Apostle Paul said, the moment I heard of your salvation, I began to pray for you in these specific, simple areas of your life. Now tonight, if Paul prayed for these three most important areas of their life, would you agree with me that we need to know what they are?
Amen.
Because here's the thing. I don't mean this wrong. Everybody got opinions.
Yeah.
Now get this. You get in my car. Here's one of the things I can learn. I've learned about my family. Now my family not here, so I can bust on them. And if you tell them I said it, I'm going to tell them you lied. Amen. Actually, I'll let them call Brother Bruce and he'll tell them. He'll lie for me. Amen. Now listen to this. You get in the car with my family and say, what y'all want to eat? My boy's going to say this. The other one's going to say this. My wife's going to say, I don't care until I pull in somewhere. Everybody got opinions. But don't you listen to me tonight. If you're in this building and you have come to Christ, I'm not talking about you prayed a prayer. I'm not talking about you came down and you felt bad about how you've been living. I'm talking about you saw yourself as a sinner. You realized you could never change yourself. You could never undo who you are. And the only way you could be saved was there was a man that hung on the cross for your sins.
Amen.
To give you life. They put him in the tomb. He rose alive. He wants to live in you. And you came to him to be saved, to give him your life, to be born again. If that God is in you tonight, how can you grow? How can you grow? How can you make sure that you're growing in your life? Well, Paul said, hey, when I heard of your faith, I began to pray for you about these three areas.
Yeah.
And tonight, y'all, if you will focus on these three areas, it'll help you grow. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. And you know, here's the amazing thing about it. The Christian life is so different than natural life. You know, when I was born and I was little and I was a baby, I'm sure I ate a lot, you know. And I want you to get this. But the longer I lived, the older I got and the more mature I became. But get this, it's the opposite when you come to Christ, my friend. The longer you're saved, the longer you realize you need Him. The longer you realize you ain't got it. It's less of you and more of Him. And my friend, growing as a Christian does not mean I get to the point where I'm self-sufficient. It means I get to the point where I fully rely on God more than I've ever relied on Him in my life tonight.
Amen.
And are you growing tonight? Are you growing?
Praise the Lord.
You say, Brother Joy, how can we grow? Paul says, since I've heard of your faith, since I heard that you got saved, I begin to pray for you in these three areas. I'm from Mississippi. That's six. These three areas. Somebody say amen, all right?
Amen.
You with me? Can you get it? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Watch this. Number one, first of all, the first thing we must do as a Christian if we're going to grow is this. We must learn Christ as a person. What do you mean, Bojo? Here's what I mean. We must learn who Jesus is in our life as a person. What do you mean? I want you to look with me, if you will, if you don't mind, in verse number 17. And look what Paul prays. I just want to break down this prayer tonight. But he says this. He says, I begin to make mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17. And then he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Now watch this. The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who?
Yeah.
Him. You see, the Bible points out here that Paul was praying that God would give them wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him and the knowledge of who God was. The fact that Paul was praying for them to have knowledge in Him simply means that Paul was praying that they would learn more of who their God was as a person in their daily life. And do you understand tonight, my friend, that God tonight is a real person. Listen to me. God is not somebody sitting up in heaven with an overgrown gray beard that's bent over backwards with a scepter in his hand. My friend, He is the living God of the world. He is a person tonight. He's just as real tonight as the person sitting next to you, the person sitting behind you. He has a personality tonight. He's got mind. He's got emotion. He's got will. And God is just as real as us tonight. And the Christian life is learning who He is.
Amen.
And what He's like and what He's not like.
That's good. Amen.
What do you mean, Brother Joy? I want you to think about this tonight. Think of a person tonight in your mind. Think of a name. And I want you to think of what comes to mind when I mention their name. LeBron James. Think about what kind of person he is. An amazing athlete. But I want you to think about Elon Musk. Y'all from Florida. Tyreek Hill. What comes to mind when you hear those names? Listen. There's characters. There's attitudes. There's personalities. There's mindsets. Why? Because they are, you ready? People. And do you know that God is a person?
Yes.
He's a real person. Hey,
amen.
Listen. And if you are saved tonight, He lives in you.
Amen.
Amen.
He's not up there. He's there.
Amen.
He's right here. He's in you tonight. He is with you, my friend.
Yes.
Not some of it. Not a little bit.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
You ever been to McDonald's?
Yep.
Y'all go to McDonald's right here? Is that a good restaurant? Okay. I'll make sure. Listen, the McDonald's is the number one restaurant in my house. I'm just going to tell you right now. Amen. Where else can you go get 4,000 hamburgers and 4,000 french fries for $25? Amen. And we don't care what it does to our body. It's good. Amen. Listen to this. I'm just kidding. But watch this. You ever been to McDonald's? And you ordered a combo?
Yeah.
And you got home, and you opened that bag, and they left out your chicken nuggets.
Yeah. Yep.
Anybody here mad about that? I'm mad. Yes. I'm mad. I'm like, Holy Spirit, activate. Holy Spirit, help me. I'm mad. Why? Because I thought I was getting something that I didn't get. I didn't get all of it. Listen, when you got saved, you got 100%
Amen.
Of God inside of you.
Amen.
And you're not going to get more God than you already have.
Mm.
But watch this. You got to learn to live with Him. Yes. What do you mean, my Joey? I didn't understand this as a Christian, but God began to do this in my life. When I first got saved, now what you think how dumb I was? How dumb I'm still kind of dumb, but I was real dumb back then. I want you to think how dumb I was. The weekend I went to jail, I went to a club. I was underage there, fake ID. I shouldn't have been there. Got arrested, all kinds of charges. After I went to church that weekend, gave my life to Christ, the very next weekend, you know what I did? Listen carefully. I went back to another party. Why? I didn't know any better. It's how I lived. While I was at that party, I was out there. Hey, and we're going outside, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to start drinking again. And I get out there with my buddies, and there is something. Listen to me. Inside of me.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Man. I don't, what are you doing? Listen.
Yeah.
I left the party and went home crying.
Amen. Amen.
And get this. I didn't know why.
Yeah.
But here's why. So it was God inside of me trying to teach me.
Yes.
Who He was.
Mm.
What He likes and what He don't like.
Amen.
If you're married, you ever been married, you've ever dated, you have a perfect understanding of what it's like to be a Christian. The Bible compares over and over again the Christian life to that of a love relationship.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Now, I want you to think about this about marriage, okay? Some of y'all ain't married yet. One day you will be. You better listen good to this. When you get married, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then you realize, okay, we married. We got to learn to live with each other without killing each other. Amen?
Amen.
Some of y'all could have said amen right there. This is church. You get away with it, church. Hey. And after I got married, you know, I thought my wife really, 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 really loved me. And then I got married and I realized I get on her nerves all the time. And when I first got married, you know, some of the things, my wife loved it when I would surprise her with flowers. She'd come in, I'd set them on the counter, the kitchen counter, and she would just walk in and be like, oh. And it was like I was king of Alabama. When that happened, it was amazing. Then we had kids. And it's amazing. One day she walked in, and I had bought flowers and put them on the counter. And I didn't know, because listen, I'm a man. And y'all realize men don't think.
Amen.
We don't think. Thank you, ladies, for not saying amen. Hey, I'm sitting in that. I go get flowers. I put them on the counter. I come in, and I'm sitting over there in the corner, you know, almost watching beast mode, man mode, ready to hear. She walks in. It phases her nothing. And I'm like, she's sick? She's blind? She can't see them? So I'm over there talking to her behind the flowers. Hey, baby, how you? Trying to get her to see them. And you know why it didn't faze her anymore? This is why. Because when we had kids, she looked at those flowers, and behind those flowers in the sink, there were dishes stacked this high. And it meant more to her then for me to wash dishes for her rather than just buy her a little flower. You said, Bridget, why is that important? This is why. Because you learn to live with one another.
Amen.
And we have to learn the person of Christ.
Exactly.
Learn what he's like.
Yes, amen.
Learn what he's thinking. We have the mind of Christ. We have to learn to listen to God and get along with God. Now let me ask you this. I'm going to come back to it at the end of the service. But I want you to ask yourself this question right now. Do you know more about Christ as a person right now than you did 6 months ago?
Amen.
So, Brother Joy, God saved me out of drugs. I know you don't like drugs. Okay, you're done with drugs. What about now?
Yeah, come on, preacher. Amen.
What about your thoughts?
Yeah.
What about your attitude, your mindset? You're all, oh, well, listen, mood on me. Are you learning who Christ is?
Mm.
Paul said, I'm praying for you, number one, that you will learn who Christ is as a person. Number two, I want you to follow me here. Everybody still okay? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He said, we must learn. I'm praying for you also to learn to live your calling personally. What do you mean, Brother Joy? Look in verse 18. I want you to see this second part tonight as a Christian. Now tonight, there's some of you standing in this building. And if you were honest, now here's one of the things you can do. I said this last night. You can take the Facebook approach and act like everything's okay, but in your heart of hearts tonight, if you're weary with living for God and following God, the reason is you're not growing.
Amen.
You must learn the person of Christ. You must live the calling He has on your life. Look in verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding, now watch this, being enlightened. In other words, God has to reveal this to us, that you may know what is the hope of His what?
Oh.
Calling. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints is. And see here, the Bible says that Paul prayed that they would understand the hope of their calling and their inheritance as a saint. And the idea here is the hope of His calling means that all believers to understand that God has not only saved us, but He has put a call upon our lives to serve Him. And that is the greatest thing that you can do in this world. Did my heart good to hear Brother Tommy say that a while ago before service. I knew I was on the right road, but you've got to understand
this. Yes, come on, preacher. Amen.
In the Bible. In the what?
Bible.
Now look at me. Not in the Baptist church.
Right. Come on, preacher.
Not in the Methodist church. Not in the Pentecostal church. But in the Bible.
Amen.
Every Christian that comes to Christ not only receives the Holy Spirit, but they also receive a spiritual gift in how they serve God.
Amen.
Now, don't you get this? Many of our churches are full of people who are not doing anything for God.
So true.
You know why? Stop growing. Stop growing. And as a Christian, when you stop serving God, you stop growing. You say, but Joe, how do I know? How do I know what God wants to do? Here, here. Can I just give you a couple down to earth? Open. Is it all right if I do that?
Yeah.
There's a man in our church, 65 years old. He retired from the power company. Worked for the power company for 40-something years. He retired from the Alabama Power Company. Started coming to our church. He got saved. He realized he wasn't saved. Beginning of the year, he got saved. It was actually on a Sunday night after church. He went home, and he was under such conviction at home. He called his son-in-law and said, listen, I need you to come talk to me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't want to go to bed tonight without being saved. And he got saved that night at his house, 65 years old. Now listen to this. Got baptized soon after that. Became a member of our church soon after that. Hey, listen. One service just a couple months ago, he was sitting in our service. And while he was sitting in our service, he drove by. When he was coming into our property, he drove by our flower beds. And he looked at our flower beds and he noticed. He said, you know what? Somebody needs to do something to those flower beds. And this is his own testimony. During the service, while I was preaching, while we were singing, while the service was going on, there was a burning in him. And in his mind, that's all he could think about. He went home that week and he gets out and about and he's working in the yard. He loves working in the yard. He does yard, even now on the side. He's retired. He does yard work here and there. He loves doing it. For a week, he thought about those flower beds. Wednesday night prayer meeting, he came back to prayer meeting. He thought about it. That next weekend, he came to me and he said, preacher, do you think that it would be okay if I worked on our flower beds at the church?
And I thought, man, yeah.
Amen.
And I said, here's the card. Go get what you need. Hey, listen. Every month now, that man comes to our church. He takes care of all of our flowers all the way around our building, the flower beds, wow, where the church sign is. He takes care of all those things. Yeah, and it is something, listen, that he does for the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
When he sits on our pews, he's thinking about, what am I going to do next month? Hey, Christmas is coming up. What am I going to do Christmas? Why? He's got his, that's where he's wired at. Just about a month ago, I told Brother Bruce about this because they cut a tree down Tuesday. Right? Tuesday morning? There's another man in our church. He's a business. He's a metal building business. But he's got all kind of equipment and stuff. And he was sitting in church. And one night we came to church and we had one of the storms come through. A lot of wind blowing. He rode around behind the church. And he noticed some of our tall pine trees were blowing. And he said, you know what? If we don't cut them trees down, they're going to fall and they're going to mess up some of our stuff. So he said, preacher, you care if I get some guys together to get these trees out, clean up our property a little bit? I said, sure, I don't mind. So, man, I came out there on a Saturday morning, and I was there. I was just going to the church to study and get some work done and get ready for a service on Sunday. And, man, it was like 12 people out there, and it was big tractors with front-end things. It was guys strapping into things with chainsaws, cutting limbs. And on the back of our property, we got like 13 acres at back of our property. On the back of our property, we have a pile of limbs. No kid, you're on the damn crazy. Bigger than y'all fellowship hall of trees and limbs. And I'm talking about they spent hours at it. And man, they cleaned up the church property. Hey, you know what that is? Listen, that's a burning desire.
Yeah.
That's a burn to do it for the Lord.
Amen.
3-4 weeks ago, I mentioned this last night in the service last night. We started talking about doing a special needs. There's a lady sitting in our church who spent 20 years working with special need adults. And she's only been saved Just over a year in our church. And while she was sitting in there, God has saved all three of her boys. One of her boys has to call the priest in Bible college. And she just got right with the Lord. She's sitting in our service. And God begins to burden her about helping teach a special needs class. Amen. Now look at it. Here's all I got to ask tonight. What is God telling you to do?
Yeah.
You say, but Joe, I can never lead singing. You don't have to. But Tommy did a good job tonight at that. But Joe, I can never preach. You got a pastor. But Joe, I can do. You can do something.
Amen.
Amen.
But here's the truth. Many people who claim to be Christians do nothing for God because God has never tugged at them to do anything for Him. And y'all listen to me. We learn who Christ is as a person.
Right.
Well, we live with a purpose. I'm not just coming to church and sitting on the pew and soaking up dust. Because listen, my friend, I want to tell you that there is more to the Christian life than sitting on a pew and listening to somebody scream.
Amen.
Come on, can I get an amen?
Amen.
A whole lot more to it.
Yes, it is.
You're serving Christ. What are you doing for Christ? Not ask you how long you've been saved. Well, when I was a kid, nobody cares. That was in your past. What are you doing now?
Yeah.
Right now. What are you doing for God now? Are you growing? Don't say you're growing and you're not serving. Because if you're growing, you'll be serving. Because when we're growing, God is calling us to do something.
Amen.
Paul said, I am praying for you that you will learn the person of Christ. Number two, he said, I'm praying for you. You will live with your calling personally. But then he said, number three, he said, I'm praying that you will learn to lean on Christ's power in your life. And y'all, this is the part, if you don't mind, I want to get to. And I want to spend, I've been going for, oh my, I've been going over 20 minutes. Everybody still breathing? Can I get an amen? Y'all look at me, I really am not a long preacher. I'm telling you, I tell our people, I'm not that long of a preacher, right? But if y'all don't mind, can I have about 5-10 more minutes?
Yes, sir. Come on.
Some of y'all are like, oh my word. Somebody hit me, listen, look at me. I want you to follow me here. Because this is the part as a Christian where we're missing it. Here's where we're missing it. It's not that we don't want to do what God wants us to do. It's that we are not able to do it. Because we don't have His power to do it. What do you mean, Brother Joel? I want you to look with me if you don't mind. Verse number 19 and 20. And the Bible says he was praying that they would know him personally. He was praying that they would, the calling, they would know the calling personally that God wanted them to do in 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty what? Now look at verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the what?
Dead.
And set him on the right hand in the heavenly places. Now I want you to think about this. Paul said, I am praying for you that you will experience the working of God's power in your life. Now tonight I want you to think about this simple truth. I'm bringing this home, okay? When Jesus was captured and beaten and crucified on the cross, after he was hanging on that cross, how do we know that he died? You remember? Number one, they pierced his side. Forehead came out, water and blood. His right. heart had exploded. Our hearts got that sacrament. His heart had exploded. Blood and water came out when he died. That's how we know he was dead. They didn't break his legs. Why did they not break his legs? Because he was already dead. They did not keep, he was already dead.
Right.
Okay, y'all with me?
Amen.
They took him off the cross. You remember this man named Joseph said, hey, I want his body. Can I bury him? I said, sure. And Joseph, one of the two Pharisees in the Bible, three Pharisees in the Bible, got only three Pharisees I know that the Bible got saved.
Yeah.
Don't spend your whole life trying to win Pharisees to the Lord. That's the truth. Mm. No, listen to this. Took his body, laid it in a tomb, and y'all want you to listen to this. He was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes closed, organs not working.
Mm.
Blood not flowing, Jesus was dead. On the third day, as his body lay there in that tomb, the Spirit of God came into his body inside of that tomb. His eyes opened.
Mm.
His body came to life.
Praise the Lord.
His heart started beating.
Amen.
Don't miss this. I want you to think. I'm asking you to think. I'm asking you to what?
Think.
And Jesus Christ, alive, walked out of his own grave that he had been in for 3 days.
Mm.
Now get this. That same power that brought him from the dead is living in you. Amen. Yeah, can we thank God?
Amen, amen.
You say, Brother Joel, why is that so important? This is why. Because I don't care what it is you're facing tonight. It's not greater than death. And the power that brought Jesus to life is in you.
Amen.
Praise God.
It's in you. I want you to think about this. If we are not learning to live in that power, we're going to sit in church.
Mm, come on, preacher. Amen.
And feel guilty, pointless, purposeless. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Amen.
Back in January, there was a man in our church. He's actually a doctor. He's a chemist. He teaches chemistry online to people in China. It's amazing. He teaches like 3 hours a day and makes a whole lot more money than I do. I don't know how he does it anyway. Intelligent, smart man. When he was a teenager, he gave his life to Christ. And he'd been in church. Listen to me, he'd been in church his whole life. From the time he was a teenager. He sent me a text and he said, Pastor, do you think that me and you could sit down and talk? I thought, sure. I thought, man, this guy's been saved for over 50 years. He's faithful to church. He comes Sunday school. He comes Sunday morning. He comes Sunday night. He comes Wednesday night. And I just thought, well, it's just personality, you know. He said, I want to meet. And he sat down and he said, Pastor, I don't know how to tell you this and I don't want you to think bad of me. He said, but I got a problem. I said, what do you mean? He said, I have struggled with pornography for for 50 years. 50 years. And he went back to his days as a young adult man and how he got started in magazines, and then generations pass, and then computers come along, and then cell phones. And how many of you understand that the devil can work through an Android and an iPhone? He looked at me and he said, "Preacher, I don't want you to be disappointed in me." I looked at him and I smiled. I said, "Why would I be disappointed?" I said, "God is trying to help you."
Yeah.
And you won't.
Yeah. Amen.
Why would a pastor be upset about that?
Amen.
Amen.
And I put him in these. I said, "I just want you to know, out of the hundreds of people come to our church, this is the most common problem that we have in our church."
Yeah.
You say, "Brother Joey, really? I want you to look at me very carefully. That is the number one sin that people at Sardis Free Baptist Church battle week." Is it? This is it. Young people, men, women. Because now, listen, 30% of women now are on pornography. Don't tell me it's just men. Over 50% of pastors battle pornography. Listen to me carefully. It's the number one issue in our society. And I looked at them and I said, "Why would I be mad at you for wanting to be right with the Lord in this area?"
Amen.
And I said, "Well, here's what we do. We set up some things to how he can have God's..." But I told him this, and I said, "Doc, I said, listen. I said, I don't care what I tell you. I don't care what kind of places we put in practice. I said, the power to overcome this in your life is already in you."
Yes. Amen.
"And if it is strong enough to bring Jesus back from the dead, it's strong enough to give you a pure heart and mind and control your
family." Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Now look at it. That was 10 months ago. He's still doing good. You know what he does every day now on his social media? He shares a Bible verse every day.
Amen.
And you know how he sits in church and listens to that? He's got joy. Yeah. That personality is different than mine. He would never go to the Muslim mall and eat. I'm just going to tell you, he never would. Look, he's free in Christ.
Amen.
He's now serving Christ with his life.
Amen.
You say, "Why, Brother Joey? This is why. Because there is a power inside of us that we have to learn to surrender to."
Yes.
Now, if you don't mind, y'all said I could have 5-10 more minutes. Everybody okay? Can I get an amen?
Come on.
Now, here's the question. Brother Joy, how do I live in that power? How do I live in that power? How do I grow as a Christian? Number one, every day you got to connect with God through faith. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Let me bring it down South Alabama level, okay? Here goes. When I came to Jesus, I had to come to Him saying, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I can never save myself. I can never do anything to change who I am. But you died for me to save me. And I believe that if I give you my life, you said you'd save me. And Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm saying, I give you my life. I'm a sinner. Save me." Lord, somebody say
amen. Amen.
Now listen.
Amen.
Every day of my life, I must wake up and come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, show what you can."
Yes.
Lord, today, I can't be a good husband without you, Jesus, because you know I'm selfish. I can't be a good daddy without you, Jesus, because Lord, you know that I'm selfish. I can't go be a good employee and work hard without you, Jesus, because Lord, you know that I am prone to wander from you. And Jesus, I need you to fill me in my life. And we spend time with the Lord. We get in His Word. We look to Jesus Christ. We're depending on Jesus every day of our life. Why? Because He is our life. We have no righteousness. You say, "Brother Joy, I'm saved." Good. You're still a dirty, rotten sinner in need of Jesus every day.
Amen.
He just changed all the inside. You got to connect with Him. And then now number two. Is everybody okay? Can I get a witness here?
Yes, sir.
You got to learn to listen to Him. You see, God is a person, and a person of the Spirit and presence. We have God with us.
Yes, we do.
And then when you're riding down the road, and there's a nasty billboard, and the Holy Spirit says, "Don't look, don't look."
Amen.
You're riding down the road and maybe you or your wife are having a bad day and you're getting ready to go at each other and you feel contention riding. The Holy Spirit said, shh, just keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Amen.
I learned to listen. Why? Because God is trying to lead us with His voice. Number one, we got to connect with God. We, through Jesus and self-denial, we got to connect. We've got to learn to listen. But finally, we got to stay asking Him.
Yes.
Lord, it's You that I need. It's You that I need. And listen to this tonight. Growing as a Christian means I am continually looking to Christ for my help and my life.
Amen.
Now tonight, I've preached 40 minutes. I'm done. I'm through. I'm sorry. I usually don't preach that long, but tonight I did. Amen.
Amen.
But watch this. You may be here tonight and you're weary. You say, Brother Joe, I'm trying to live the Christian life. You know why? Because it's hard. You got to grow. You got to learn Him. Are you learning God? In the last month, what's one thing that God has taught you about Him that you did not know in the previous years of your salvation? Yes. What's one thing? You say, Brother Joe, why do you say it like that? Because He's your God.
Yes.
So I've been saved 20 years. So what? He's God. You'll never know all of God.
Amen.
What is one thing? Number two. What are you doing for Him? What's on your mind tonight? What are you doing for God? What are you doing for God tonight? What is it that God has gifted you? You don't have to teach Sunday school class, but you can do something.
Amen.
And then number three. Maybe not you realize that that power is in me, but I've become a victim to my flesh. You're going to have to surrender to Him. You're going to have to seek Him and let Him help you. Can I get a witness tonight?
Amen.
Will you bow your heads with me in a word of prayer? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight. You may be sitting here tonight and you say, Preacher, as I'm sitting right now in my pew, the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to me tonight about an area of my life, in my growing. And you say, Preacher, what do I do? I want to ask you. You want to enjoy the Christian life? Or you want to endure it? God saved us to grow. Paul said, you do these things. I'm praying for you that these things will happen in your life so you can grow. My Father, tonight, Lord, I see faces, but You see hearts. Lord, I pray tonight that You'll have Your will and way right now in our hearts and lives like only You can, Jesus. Lord, speak to us. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm having Miss Brenda, if she'll just real quietly begin to play. While she does tonight, how many of you would say, Preacher, I want you to pray for me. Because God spoke to me tonight in this service as a Christian. Will you slip your hand over mine?
Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Now tonight, you say, Preacher, sitting where I am, if I died where I'm sitting, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. I don't know that Christ lives in me. I don't know that I've given my life to Christ as a sinner. And oh, tonight, the thought that I would die as I am, go out into eternity and not sure where I'm heading. Preacher, will you pray for me? Will you slip your hand up? I just want to pray for you. Pray for me, Preacher, because I'm not sure that I'm a Christian tonight. Now I'm going to pray tonight. When I'm done praying, you raise your hand. God spoke to you. I'm going to pray for you. Will you come down here and talk to Him about it? Will you? Will you be obedient to Him? Father, in Jesus' name, we ask You to exalt Yourself in our life. Lord, draw us closer to You. That, Lord, we may be people who are growing into the image of Christ. Jesus, we ask this in Your name. Will You stand to Your feet with me all across the building? You raise your hands and say, Preacher, pray for me. I pray for you tonight. Will You come tonight? Let the Lord do His work in your life. As Miss Brenda prays tonight.
our feet and make sure you share. Make sure you share before Brother Joy goes back that how much you appreciate his service and his preaching and being obedient to the Lord. And the men want to, we want to gather around Brother Wesley and just have a word of prayer for him. Yes. And so we're going to do that, Brother Wesley. I don't want to embarrass you, but we will come where you're at and just gather around and have prayer.
Amen.
And we'll close out the service that way. And if you need help or you need someone to talk to you about some other spiritual matter before you leave, make sure you do that, all right? If you men would gather me, our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word. Lord, you said in your word that there'd be times that we would come to you and not know what to ask for, and that the Holy Spirit in us would offer up groanings that cannot be uttered. And Lord, that's how we feel this evening toward Brother Wesley. God, we love him so much. We care for his well-being, and Lord, our hearts hurt because of the difficulties and the loss of his children, and Lord, so suddenly, so close together. And God, if we could do something to comfort him, to ease the burden, and Lord, to share that burden with him. But God, we know this evening that you can do what we cannot do. Lord, you're the God that's the God of all peace, God of all mercy and grace. And God, we pray that you would be merciful to Brother Wesley. God, that you would let your compassion just Lord, fall on him. Lord, we pray that you would just give him a peace, Lord, that can only come from you. We ask, God, that you bring to his mind Bible verses that would bring great comfort and would strengthen his faith. We pray, God, that you would help him, Lord, to look to you as a person and realize that the Word of God was preached even tonight, or to meet the need that he has. Lord, to just come to you, or talk to you, and spend time with you. Lord, get help from you. And I pray, God, that you would encourage him to do that. Strengthen him to do that. We ask, God, that you would bind the devil as well. Lord, I pray you quench all the fiery darts that would be used to attack him in his spiritual life. And we pray, God, that you would defeat the devil. Lord, don't let any lie that comes from the enemy lodge in his mind or in his heart. Lord, immediately bring to him, God, your word, your love, and Lord, your grace. Pray, God, that you just be with him, strengthen him, Lord, bless him. God, draw him closer to yourself. Lord, bless our church. Lord, we thank you for this word that's been preached throughout the week, and we ask, God, that you help us, Lord, to continue to seek your face. Lord, desire a closer walk with you. And Lord, help us to be a church that lifts up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, Lord, it has your presence on our services, that where sinners could be saved, and lives could be changed. And Lord, people could get help from you. God, we'll thank you for it. We ask that you'd watch over Brother Joy as he travels back home. Lord, give him a safe trip, and Lord, bless his ministry. Lord, fill him with your Holy Spirit, using God as the pastors of the church. And Lord, bless the Sardis Free Will Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to work through Brother Joy, that multitudes would be saved. Thank you, Lord, for this week, and thank you for touching Brother Wesley and helping him. Thank you for answering our prayers. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.